Come on, God is good to us. Amen. When his presence shows up, just enjoy it. Just soak in it. I mean, that's a season where we just have some quiet, where God wants to do something extra, and he wants to move, and he just wants to be in us and through us and around us and minister to us. Amen? So we just gotta look for those opportunities, because he doesn't just do it in church. Did you know that? He will do that when you're at home. Amen? I need to turn this thing on for Facebook so they can hear us. Is it on? Don't know. There it goes. It stayed on. Just making sure I'm not missing anything. So I'm just listening for a minute, because I don't want to miss out. We showed up. We expected to receive something from him today. Amen? We're not just checking a box. We're just believing God's got something for us. Amen? So we don't want to rush it. Thank you, Lord. I think he's got more, and he will let us know what it is. Thank you, Lord. You guys ready for some word?
Yes.
I believe the word will change your life. Yes. Amen? I mean, it will absolutely revolutionize the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk, what you believe. It's important. It's important. So that's why we put emphasis on the word. It's important we hear the word, and we meditate on the word, and we study the word. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Okay, last week we started briefly a series on, it doesn't normally do this, so we started a series briefly on, because this would just, I mean, this would drive everybody bonkers, including me. Thank you, Lord. He's helping us. Okay, let's see if that works. If it doesn't, I'll switch. Okay. The law of confession. We're talking about the law of confession. And I think this is a series that God's leading us into because it is absolutely not talked about much in the church. And we've got to put some emphasis and reemphasize what it is that we're saying as the body of Christ. Amen? Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said when he spoke. Did you know that? He is not going to be judged for an idle word. Amen? So in his conversations and in what he declared and what he said about himself and what he said about his disciples, what he said about us, the future church, he meant it. Amen? And he was very purposeful in what he said and how he said it. So we're going to have to be purposeful about what we say and how we said it. Amen? So let's look at a couple of things about what Jesus talked about in our words. Matthew chapter 12. If you got your Bibles, open it up to Matthew chapter 12, your app, your phone, your iPad, whatever you got. Get those things out. Take a look at them. It's important you see it. Matthew chapter 12. Everybody okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Okay. 10:45. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. I'm going to talk fast, so listen fast. Here we go. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make a good tree, make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, and a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Did he put some importance on your words in that statement? Pretty heavy, didn't he? Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." This is God speaking. "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I have sent it." And I said this last week, and I want this to sink into your spirit. I want you to hear this, because when God created man, he never intended us to say anything that we did not want to come to pass. We were to be speaking spirits, and we were to only speak the things that we wanted to happen in our lives. That was it. And so the enemy has worked overtime to get us in our humanity to just say things off the cuff, whether it be cliche or not, a metaphor, whatever. to say things that we don't really want to come to pass, that we don't really want to happen. And we guise it under the hidden truth of I'm just being real or realistic. You heard that? I have too. I've said it. And we might be in the middle of all kinds of stuff. And the truth might be what you want to say about that situation. But the truth of God's word is if you want that situation to change, you've got to start speaking what you want to happen instead of what is happening. Amen? This is how our God works. This is how our Creator created the planets. He created us this way. In Proverbs 18, verse 20, it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. What does that mean? It means what you are saying is going to produce back for you, good or bad. Man, we got to watch the gate right under your nose. Whew, that sucker gets us in more trouble, right? Husbands, you better be nodding, right? There's just some stuff, right? We've got to watch what comes out of our mouths. Turn with me to Mark 11. This is a hallmark verse for living by faith and walking in faith and guarding what we say. Mark chapter 11. If you don't have this underlined and highlighted, I encourage you to underline it and highlight it in your Bible. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus has just talked to his disciples that he had cursed the fig tree and commanded it to die. Because it was a lying fig tree. It said it had fruit on it. When he got there, it was barren. So he said, nobody eat fruit of you again. And the next day, everybody say the next day, it was dry to the root. And his disciples were astonished. And so he's instructing them from this. Because if this was just something Jesus could do, this is where he says, now boys, you just sit back and watch. This is something the Son of God does. But he didn't say that, did he? He did not. In verse 22, he says, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he is. This the master? This is the Creator. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the Son of the Living God, the King of Glory, who we will gladly see in just a few moments. And He is giving us instruction. He is telling us something that is not some fable. He is telling us that if you will say something and believe it in your heart and won't doubt, but believe what you say will be done, you shall have whatever you say. I believe there's a lot of things in our lives when we stand before him that he's going to correct us on and help us with some things. And it's going to come back to this verse right here. Do you remember when I said, whatever you say, if you believe it, you're going to have it. Come on, we can work this verse in our favor until Jesus comes back and beyond. He is not going to do it for us. Amen? Then he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now, come on, in my Bible, there's some commas in here. Is there commas up there? The translators add commas. In the Hebrew, you've got to follow the context for punctuation. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them. That word is, when you pray, believe you receive them. That's when you believe. When do you believe? When you pray. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. You see that? It's the prayer is when you believe you receive. Then, well, I don't see it yet. Come on now. That's just being carnal. You can't see Jesus either. Anybody seen Jesus in the flesh? I'm not talking about a vision or a dream. I mean in the flesh. We have not. We will. But we believe him, and yet we have not seen. Blessed are they that believe and have not seen. Right? We believe God is real. Come on, there's some things you've got to see with the eye of your imagination and declare it out and believe you receive it when you pray. Amen? Go to Genesis with me. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Last week I talked just for a moment about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. And I 100% believe that God is sovereign. But let me tell you the devilish doctrine that we're in right now about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God has been switched from the definition of sovereign, which is paramount, supreme, having supreme rank or power, independent, excellent. That's what the definition of sovereign is. But we have exchanged the definition of sovereign to God is sovereign and all-powerful, therefore, he can do anything and everything that he wants, and whatever happens, good or bad, he either wills or allows it to be. This is problematic doctrine. Because now it produces a passivity in Christians, where it doesn't matter what we do, God's will be done, no matter what. But that's not what he teaches us in the Word. He teaches us that there's things for us to do, and that we will have what we say. Why would he tell us that if what we say doesn't matter? He's just going to get whatever he wants anyway. I've received things in my life from things that I had said I did not want to happen. And it was terrible. And I had to look myself in the mirror and say, you got to stop talking like that. That wasn't the will of God. That was me using my will and getting something that wasn't of God. Amen? So we got to be careful with this sovereignty doctrine. I believe God is sovereign in the definition of he is paramount, supreme, having supreme rank and power. He's independent. He's excellent. But he has given us some rule and reign in this earth. He has turned over authority to the church. Lord Jesus said that to us. People get saved because people go and preach the gospel. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we got to be careful with this. We got to make sure we're not putting off on God that's not on God. We got to look ourselves straight in the mirror, amen? And look at that opening right below our nose and say, what have I been saying? And what do I need to say to change the outcome in my future? I'm going to suggest using the Word of God because there's a lot of promises in here. There's a lot of truth in here that will change your whole life for the better. Amen? Are you in Genesis 1? Let me read Hebrews 11:3 while you're... Stay there. Just keep your finger there. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. I love that verse. God created everything we see by the things that are not visible. How does he do that? He spoke. He said something and stuff happened. This is our Maker. And he said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. We're speaking spirits. He wants us to use our mouth and our words and our faith to create good in our lives. See, the fact that you can't see it yet is just a promise in Hebrews 11:3. Beautiful. I can't see it yet, but I'm going to keep speaking what I believe. And I'm going to keep speaking what the Word of God says. Amen? He wants your body to be healthy and whole. He wants your finances to be full, not just for you, but so that you can be a blessing to others. Come on, he wants you to have good relationships and to come together and agree and pray and minister to one another. He wants these things for us because it's a blessing to others too. A blessing for us, but a blessing to others too. Genesis chapter 1. You guys there? Yep. Book of Beginnings. I love this. I'm going to jump around a little bit, so stay with me. Verse 3. Then God what? He said. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 6. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Come on, that's the earth. And verse 7 at the end, it says, and it was so. And it was so. Verse 9. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry ground appear. And then what does it say? And it was so. Come on, this is our God showing us what it is like to say, to speak things into existence. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed and fruit that yields according to the fruit of its kind. And the end of that verse says, and it was so. See, God doesn't doubt when he says. Science is finding out that they're finding smaller and smaller particles. Did you know that? The latest one they found, the smallest particle they can find is called a quark. Did you know that? Not a quark, like in a wine bottle, but like a quark, like your quirky friends. It's a quark, and the quark is the smallest thing they can find so far. And guess what it's made up of? Sound. It's made up of sound. You can find this in scientific journals. They have found the smallest particle is made up of sound. It's a vibrating molecule made up of sound. God spoke, and things were created from his voice. Come on, everything we see, touch, sit on, ride in, jump over, lay down on, swim through, has a particle that begins with the voice. This stuff we're just figuring out. 6,000 years into this thing. And God's known it from the beginning. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. The end of 15, and it was so. Verse 20, God said. Verse 24, God said. Verse 29, God said. Verse 29, God said, and it was so. He wants us to understand what it looks like to be believing Christians, believing, and watch the gates of our mouth. Make sure we're speaking the word of God. You know, it's the highest compliment to repeat back to someone what they've declared. And it's true humility when we declare over ourselves and over our lives what God's already said about us. It's not prideful. When we sing, I am who you say I am, we're not putting our attention on us. We're just agreeing with what God said about us. God, I am what you say I am. I am who you say I am. You say I'm a son. You say I'm adopted. You say I'm precious. You call me righteous. I am who you say I am. Come on, we're just agreeing with what he said. You know, that'll produce a confidence in you. That'll light a fire under you to agree with God. Man challenged God to a contest one time. Did you hear about this? A human-making contest. Said, we can make humans just like you. We've figured it all out. God said, fine, let's have a contest. So they set it all up. The scientists got all their stuff together. They bent over to scoop up some dirt. And God says, get your own dirt. Like, we think we got so big for our britches, we can do all this stuff. And everything we do is based on what he already did. Well, we're not making anything, creating any new atoms and particles. We're discovering all the stuff he put in here already. Right. We can trust him. We can trust him. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 14:1 says this. It says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Come on, only a fool says there is no God, because look around. We got a big job to do, amen? And it's to show the world God. It's to show them who Jesus is in us. You know that word we got? Just having confidence. Letting the light shine. Amen? We live in a wild time. I never thought I'd see it like this. I knew it was going to get a little crazy before Jesus came back, but it's off the chain now. I mean, they done let the dogs out. It's wild. But you know what? For us, really nothing has changed. Jesus is still coming back for us. He still loves us. He still has a plan for us. He is not shocked by where we're at. He's like, did you guys know about the Rona? When did that happen? No, he's not doing any of that. He just wants some confident people that know Jesus, that know who they are in Christ, to rise up and say, you know what? It's going to be okay. We can trust God. He is faithful. This isn't the first pandemic the world's ever seen. Cataclysmic event. These are just birth pains, groanings of the earth before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This should get us excited. We're close. Worldwide pandemic. Yeah! Jesus is about here. The world needs to see somebody smiling and happy when they're walking around places. Come on now. You can smile with your eyes when you got to go to that grocery store with a mask on. Be kind. Be nice. The world needs hope. Amen. Jesus told us, he said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Come on, what is he saying? This word is spirit and life to our hearts and to our lives. We've got to honor it as such. If we'll get in there and we'll mine out those scriptures, we'll mine out those promises, come on, your whole life will turn around. Everything about it. The stuff that you don't like will change. The stuff that's good will get better. This is how God works. He's a God of increase. He told Adam and Eve, subdue the earth, be fruitful, multiply, go. We just can't afford to live on barely get along street anymore, right next to Grumble Alley. We just can't do this anymore. We got to get ourselves together. Amen. I'm telling you, when you start seeing faith victories in your life because of what you're seeing and what you're believing and you're being consistent with it. Come on, Paul said, hold fast the confession or the profession of your faith. What does that mean? What you believe. Hold fast to that. Keep saying it. You will see it materialize in your life. You will see it. Come on, who's with me and seeing that stuff work? This word works, and it works every single time for anybody. Amen. He is not a respecter of persons. That means no matter what status you're at, it can change. It's the word of God. It works every time. It works all the time. His words are spirit and they are life. Thank you, Lord. Confession is how we change our eternal destiny forever. Did you know that? What you said about believing in Jesus and that God raised him from the dead changed your eternal destiny. You were going to hell, but then when you believed and you spoke, now you're going to heaven. That seems too simple, doesn't it? Like, we should have to do a couple of burpees and maybe 100 push-ups or something extra, you know? Be kind to a dog that's pooping on your lawn. Just overcome some temptation to just, right? But no, he just said, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That doesn't mean that it's minimal. It means it's critical. We should recognize the simplicity and also the power, right? I've heard people make fun of this message, calling it a blab it and grab it. Name it and claim it. Anybody ever heard those terms before? It's never in a positive way, is it? It's always derogatory. But the truth is that you get saved by naming it and claiming it. You get born again by blabbing it and grabbing it. Lord, you're my Savior. I believe you. Thank you for coming in my heart and being my Savior, my Lord. I believe that you are the Son of God. Come on, the word works the same way in every single area. You need healing, you need provision, you need help in your relationships. Come on, you need direction for your job. What do you believe? What are you saying about your job? What are you saying about your boss? That rascal, no good. Boy, if I see him outside of work, no, don't say that kind of stuff. That's not going to help you. Come on now. Confession is the Greek word homologio. Homologio. Have you ever heard that word before? It's broken into two parts. Homo, which is same, and logio, which is the word. So when we confess, we're saying the same thing God says. Hold fast the confession of your faith. What did God say about you? Hold fast to that. The same thing God says. There's so much more to say about this. We got to get a hold of it and use it to our benefit. To our advantage, amen? Because we've gotten into places where we should not have been because we just let some stuff wash over us. Anybody ever seen somebody get caught off guard by a wave in the ocean? After you're done laughing, right? You realize it could happen to you, right? But things can just totally take you off guard if you're not prepared for what's coming, right? The point and the dive through it and the just, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, God is setting us up to be ready in this season and in this time for what's coming at us so that we can be confident and speak what we believe. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I hurt my back a few weeks ago. Don't know why, how. Just woke up, And I was like, dear Jesus, I need help, right? One of those. Just, ouch. So you got options right then. You're facing something, and you got options. What do you say? I'd like to say I called down fire from heaven, and it was instantly healed, and I jumped up and did handsprings out into the living room. I did not, but I did quote the word, and it was the same word Bailey shared with us. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. Come on, I said that, and I said it, and I said it in through the ouch and through the hurt. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healthy and whole in Jesus' name. I refuse to accept this pain in Jesus' name. Come on, you're not denying that it's there. We're not deniers. We're just denying its right to stay. It can't stay. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. It made me happy, and it was still hurting. In the natural, still hurt. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. It feels good. My back feels good. Come on, you can just roll over and take ibuprofen and just suffer through, or you can say what you believe from the word. What does it say? That's a big promise. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. When God himself said, when he exerted that power and raised Christ from the dead and forgave all of our sins and raised up all those who would call Jesus Lord and raised them to new life, that was a mighty flex. That same spirit quickens my mortal body. What can stand against that? When you will agree by faith and say it and say it and say it and believe it and say it with conviction, nothing can stand against that. Do you see that? This is what we're called to do. This is who we're called to be. People that say what they believe and feel it and know it and walk in it, and no matter what the circumstance says, and come on, your circumstances are talking to you. Back pain talks to you. It says, I'm here in the lower left. And I'm squeezing the nerve every time you wiggle. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. Come on, whatever you got to do, it will change. What are you saying? Come on now, if we followed us around with the recorder, we'd be doing some editing before we got to church. Right? We got to check that thing. Amen? Let me leave you with this. You guys okay? I started a little late, so I took just a few extra minutes. Kids are doing great. You guys are awesome. David and Goliath. David was a teenager, 15 to 17. Do you know that? And he shows up to bring his brothers lunch, and he's like, what is going on? Because Goliath is out there, and he's just tearing them up. He's saying not nice things about their mamas and their mama's mamas. And David's like, what? Why are we putting up with this? He said, who is this? Uncircumcised. Coronavirus. Come on, the Rona has nothing on you. You got a covenant with mighty God. Who is this uncircumcised virus thinks it's going to strut its stuff? Let me at it. His brothers are like, what? You're not even trained. Then he asks, what shall be done for the man that slays the giant? That's a great question. That's a great question. What's in it when I take care of this? He's already done it in his head. Come on, there's something in it for you when you knock down the giant. Amen? He's like, we get the daughter too? Woo! Let me at him. He's so convincing that he gets before the king, and the king is like, you're a youth, and this guy's been a warrior from his youth. He's full-grown man times two. He big boy, right? But David's like, don't fear that. When I was watching the sheep, a bear and a lion came and took one, and I pursued it and caught my sheep back. And when they turned against me, I caught that thing by the beard and struck it and slew it. And the king's like, buddy, we'll go get him. He was so convinced that this teenager in front of him knew God that he let him go out for the whole nation. Come on, this is the spirit that's in us. That wasn't just David. That was the anointing of God in him and on his life. He had already been anointed. It's in him. It's in you. How are you going to respond? I'm telling you, something on the inside better rise up and look at all the junk going on and say, who is this uncircumcised? No way. I serve the living God. I have a covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you start talking like that, I'm telling you, your muscles are going to get big. Your confidence is going to get, your chest is going to stick out a little bit tall. Come on, you're going to just fires me up talking about it. This is who we're called to be, warriors in this season. Who's talking like this in your life? Who in your circle is talking like this? It should be you. And then you gather people around you because they're drawn to some different kind of spirit than they've ever seen before. Somebody with confidence and boldness and knows who their God is and is willing to talk about it. Amen? We're not going down. We're going up. The King of Kings is coming for the vibrant, alive, spotless, righteous church that is doing the works of Jesus. Alive in this time, amen? It will not happen until we get a hold of our mouth and start speaking the word of God over our situations, over our churches, over our families, over our communities, over everything around us, speaking the word. Prove it for yourself. Prove it for yourself. Speak some things over your life. Give yourself some very attainable goals. Something that you're dealing with right now. Might be pain in your body, might be financial issue. Speak some things into your life. Watch God work on your behalf. Words are containers. We're going to talk about words are containers next week. God is good to us, amen? When he tells us this stuff, it's for our benefit, for his glory. Right? He's not trying to just produce superhuman people. He's trying to produce Christians that know who their God is and are willing to go into the gates of hell and pull people out. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How dare he defy the armies of the living God? Amen? Amen. Come on, there's some confidence in there, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's enough. God is good.